You're listening to Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Farad. Coming up, we'll look at the heated news conference with President Trump yesterday and talk about his relationship with the press.
First, if you're looking to start a new chapter in your career, changing jobs, starting a business, getting into a new line of work, perhaps after retiring from your old occupation, our guest has some good news. He says 2017 is looking like a great year to make a change.
Chris Farrell joins us now. He's senior economics contributor at Marketplace. He's the author of Unretirement: How Baby Boomers Are Changing the Way We Think About Work, Community, and the Good Life. His piece on the website Next Avenue is linked on our Central Time Facebook page. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Why is 2017 looking like a good year for a new chapter in our careers?
So, you know, one definition of a good economy is when firms, organizations are looking for workers. A bad economy is when workers are looking for firms to get hired. And right now, with the unemployment rate at 4.8%, and companies really complaining about they can't find the qualified workers they need, they can't find the skilled workers they need. The National Federation of Independent Business, in its survey, it had a 29% of small businesses surveyed, so they can't find the workers they need. And so in that kind of environment, and I don't want to exaggerate how strong this job market is, but it is strong and it's getting stronger. What we've had, 76 straight months of monthly employment gains. In that kind of environment, hey, you've been thinking about making a change. What are you waiting for?
So employees are in a better position relative to employers than they had been, certainly 8 years ago.
Absolutely. I mean, you just have a lot more leverage and you have a lot more options. And frankly, I also think, you know, there's always the risk that you make a shift, you make a change, transitions are difficult. It doesn't really quite work out the way you thought it would. In a stronger economic environment with a healthy job market, you know, the downside risk of something going bad or you having to rethink things or shift to another job, it's just a lot less.
Well, I want to look at some different particular situations people might find themselves in. And let's start with maybe the retiree. They're looking for a post-retirement job either because they need the extra income or they want to do something. They want to keep working, but maybe in a different line of work. What kind of things can they think about?
Okay, so one of the things that this retiree needs to realize is you're not going to get a job with your resume. You're not going to get a job going through the human resources department. Some people will, but most people get their jobs through their network, you know, their former colleagues, their acquaintances, their neighbors. What is that? What's the expression? The third degree of separation. Because these people don't care about your age. They know who you are. They know your skills. And, you know, research overall shows that more than half of all jobs come through your network anyway. So tap into your network. And part of it is tapping your network for this very practical reason, and that's probably where you're going to find out where you're going to get your next job. But also tap into your network to say, hey, what do you think I would be good at doing? You know, I've been doing this for the past 10, 15 years. It's a good job, but I want to have something that I'm a little more excited about, a little more jazzed about. So also use your network to get you thinking about what might be some possibilities.
This is advice probably for anybody, not just that retiree. But let me ask you, Chris, what about somebody like me who is bad at networking, hates networking? how would somebody, if my bosses are listening, I'm not looking, don't worry. How about somebody like me, bad at networking, who does want to make that change for whatever it's worth? How do you start on something like that?
So, you know, you sort of, first of all, you just drop the word networking.
Uh-huh.
And then you start thinking about, you know, I've stayed in loose touch with a couple of friends from college and, you know, people who knew me back in college. And I'm going to get back in touch with them. And we kind of have known each other, but we haven't been that close. And sort of say, hey, you know, what did I say I wanted to do back then? I can't quite remember. And they're going to say, well, you thought you wanted to do X, Y, or Z. So you're not, it's a way of networking, but it's a slightly different way of networking. Tap into your friends. Tap into your family. And if you're uncomfortable meeting with strangers, and by the way, when I say networking, I'm not talking about going to one of these networking events where you get handed a cocktail and you put some sort of badge on and you say, hi, I'm Chris. I'm talking about, you know, your former college roommates, your, you know, some colleagues that you worked with, some people that you've stayed in contact over the years. Maybe there's somebody if you're involved in some nonprofit organization, some volunteering work, and then just take people out that you like, that you think do something interesting, and say, hey, can I have a cup of coffee with you? Let me buy you a cup of coffee. And I just want to say, how did you get to where you are? And, you know, I'm just curious. And the thing is, you may not like networking, but I can guarantee you, because of your job, you're curious and you want to learn things. And so if you think about, I'm going to go out there and learn about what other people are doing, you may very well stumble on what you want to do.
If there's coffee and cocktails, I guess it can't be all bad. We're talking to Chris Farrell.
That's exactly. I mean, you know, what else is there to life?
We've got Chris Farrell with us from Marketplace. He says 2017, good year for a change, a second act maybe in your career, a new line of work, a post-retirement job, or, Chris, self-employment. This is a time to start considering that. How does somebody get started thinking about taking that plunge, maybe from a secure job that they don't love into a risky job of being an entrepreneur or a consultant or something like that?
Right. So one of the most stunning figures, and of course I love numbers, I live in a world of numbers, but I just give you one number. A quarter of all new businesses started last year was by the 55 to 64-year-old age group.
Wow.
And that's up from about 15% in 1997. Now, when I say go out and start your own business or self-employment, I'm not talking about draining that 401k and taking some huge risk. Instead, you mentioned someone's got a secure job. So do you have a side gig? Or is there some sort of side gig you've been thinking about? You know, try some side gigs. Do a little bit of experimentation. Get together with some friends. You have an ability to edit, and there's a lot of podcasting going on around. Maybe someone needs some freelance podcasting, and you can do a little bit of work on the side. And, you know, it's not a full-time job. It's kind of interesting. These are interesting people. But you start realizing, hey, you know, one job is leading to another, and I'm beginning to see how this feeds out. Maybe I might want to go ahead and do this. Or you're doing some tutoring on the side. You're doing some teaching. I mean, there's all kinds of ways, but I would start with the notion of a side gig. I start with the notion that you do not want to spend very much. And if you look at the average self-employment number, it's the business costs $5,000 or less to get started. So you're not going to spend big. You're going to be cautious. You're going to experiment, and you're going to start with a side gig.
Let's talk about someone out there we've talked about a lot on the show and through the election. Maybe that person, 40 to 60, they've had, high school-ish education. They've had maybe the factory job. A factory's automated or it's moved, no job anymore. Service sector jobs, lower paid ones, maybe available, maybe not. What kind of things can they do to try to get started of that second act of necessity in this case, not of choice?
Of necessity. And of course, as you always know, you know, when you make these pronouncements, I'm sitting in a radio studio. Oh, you can go do this. You can go do that. And we know transitions are hard and it's not easy. But I've interviewed a number of, for example, in Cleveland, interviewed an iron worker, and he didn't like school. He hated school. He couldn't wait. He graduated from high school, never went to community college, never went to college. He was an iron worker for 30 years. And now he's retired, needs some income, and he's working in an apprenticeship program in a technical high school. And he's really the assistant. He's not even the head teacher. And he says, you know what really stuns me? Is I love these kids. I love this.
Love school.
I hated school, but I'm really enjoying this. So it's kind of like, you know, broadening your horizon. But for a lot of people, it's going to be getting some kind of certificate, some kind of skill, perhaps at the community college that you can then take into another sector of the economy.
Hey, Chris, one way or another, I mean, the old model of the career, you sign on with a company, maybe work your way up for a while, retire, office party at the end of the gig. That's not it anymore. We're going through multiple employers, maybe multiple careers in a lifetime.
That's right. So I think what you, particularly if you're a younger person listening to this, you know, start thinking about that model of the career. You're absolutely right. That no longer works. So start thinking about your career as a lifestyle. And building a lifestyle, and then what skills, what learning do you need? And thinking about, you know, sometimes you're going to be with an employer and you're going to learn a lot. Because, you know, one of the advantages of working with a big employer is they'll spend a lot of money on you training. One of the advantages of working for a small business is you get a lot of responsibility because everyone has to kind of do everything. One advantage of being on your own is your own boss. And the way the world has changed is those three options are available to you. And so you're planning is about building a lifestyle, then build your finances around that lifestyle, as opposed to say, for example, I'm gonna work really hard and I'm gonna save all my money, because then when I'm 60, the world's gonna be a wonderful place because I'm gonna go off and for the rest of my life be in leisure. And you find out that's actually not a good world.
And Chris, in some ways, I mean, that sounds scary and unpredictable. In another way, it maybe takes the pressure off of, if that first job you take or your college major or something turns out not to be the right one, there is time for a second and third and fourth chapter.
You know, one of the things I've really talked to a lot of young people, and they're graduating from college, and there's just so much pressure for them to figure out their career, to figure out what it is they're going to be doing. And just what you're saying, you know, look, you have a job. You go to another job, you do a little bit of experimentation. And I think a lot of us, when we look back, we had wonderful moments in our careers, and then they pass. And then you have some difficult times, and then you find something else. So it really is about being more in control. And if you're learning, and if you're curious, and you accept the fact that you're going to be doing a variety of things, I think that gives you a certain power. You can't control the stock market. Can't control what's going to happen to the economy. But if you're willing to have an entrepreneurial mindset, not to be necessarily be an entrepreneur, but an entrepreneurial mindset, that will hold you in good stead when you're young in your career and when you are in the twilight of your career.
We'll leave it there. Chris, always good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot.
That's Chris Farrell, senior economics contributor at Marketplace, author of the book Unretirement. His piece on second act careers in 2017 is linked over at the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up, we take a closer look at what led to the tense exchange between President Trump and reporters at a lively press conference yesterday. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.